Hi everyone, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Linda, and today I have two fine guests with me in the studio.
Hello everyone, my name is Carolyn.
Hi everyone, I'm Albert.
And we've been talking about money for the last couple of days.
Yes.
And today we're going to switch topics a little bit about how to stop worrying about money. But first let's talk about what... Does that make you feel good? So you won't have to worry anymore?
Yes.
But first of all, let's take a look at what we've been talking about the last couple of days. On the 27th and 28th of March, it is like so near the end of March now. But on the last 2 days, we've been talking about six things that we can do now that will pay off later. And can you tell us what a couple of those were?
Well, on the first day, on the 27th, we had create a budget, which is a really good idea. If you don't already have one, try to make a budget and make one that works for you. So it's not necessarily the same budget that other family members use or your friends use. It's one that fits you and your lifestyle.
Okay. And what's another one, Albert?
Start saving for kids now. Even if you're not having kids, you can start saving for something like a house, a car, you know, something that you know you're going to use and will need in the future, and you can start saving now using that helpful and handy auto transfer feature from
okay.
your bank.
Okay, and it says that you should take a look at how much it will cost you, especially for a child, and start saving that amount now, okay? And then another one was to take advantage of time to build savings, so don't wait until 5 years from now or 10 years from now. You should start saving, even if it's a little bit. I think the recommended amount that most people say is 10%, that you should save 10%. My rule for my family always was save 10% and give away 10%. That's what I tried to teach my kids. And what's another one, Carolyn?
Well, related to saving, one that I really liked was building an emergency fund, making sure that you're prepared for those unexpected things that life throws at you. Maybe it's unexpected medical bills. Maybe it's you need to move to a new city. Moving can be very expensive. So just being ready for any emergency and having a little bit of extra cash saved up.
Okay. And what's another one, Albert?
Improving your credit. This is really, really crucial. You know, it's something like there are really good credit cards or loan deals that can really help you out with big purchases. And if you have a good credit, a really solid credit, banks are more willing to help you out.
Right. So pay off your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. And the last one that they talked about was live like you've retired before you retire. So if you know you're going to have a budget of a certain amount, it's probably going to be less when you retire than you have when you're working. So, you know, practice. Albert said practice living. I was like, it's not practice, it's reality, how you're going to be living your life in the future. So try living on that and see what adjustments you have to make. So that was what we talked about the last couple of days. And today we're going to talk about some ways that we could get our finances like straightened around maybe, and so we don't have to worry about it. You know, this is the number one thing that married couples fight about.
Wow, I did not know that.
Is money.
Money is a really big issue.
Right. Yeah. It is the number one problem area for couples. And I also think if people are not married, it's the number one concern in their lives too, is, you know, your money.
This sounds so unromantic for a married couple to be fighting over, but yeah.
That's what the statistics show. That is the number one. So let's take a look at this. We're on page 42 in our magazine, and we're going to do our first reading on the left-hand column at the top of the page, and let's read down through about line 18.
Ways to stop worrying about money. Are worries about money keeping you up at night? You're not alone. Money is one of the top concerns of Americans, a recent Go Banking Rates survey found. Here are some ways to stop worrying and get your finances on track. Understand your money situation. Once you know what you have and what you owe, you can identify your biggest problem and assess what needs to change. know where your money is going. You need to know where your money goes each month, Michael F. K., financial planner and president of Financial Life Focus, said. First, identify your necessary expenses for each month. Then, look at your bank and credit card statements from the past month to see how much you're spending on discretionary items.
So I think this is interesting. We were just talking about this. This is the number one concern of Americans. And I think this is not just Americans. I mean, this is from the States. This article is from the States. But I also think that with Europe, it's the same thing, especially with the European financial crisis in so many countries. And in Asia, all over the world, I'm pretty sure that money worries keep a lot of people up at night.
Yeah, especially with a lot of the financial changes that have been occurring over the past several months. Like last winter, India had a rather large financial change where they took out their largest bills, and Venezuela followed suit with that as well. And it causes a lot of stress for people to know what they're going to be able to buy, how they're going to be able to use their money, and whether or not they'll have any money to use.
Right, and with employment rates so high in so many countries also, it is a big concern. But here it says that they are going to give some suggestions about how to stop worrying and get your finances on track. If you get something on track, we kind of talked a little bit about this before. What does getting something on track mean, Albert?
Well, I just picture like a train that's on a train track and it's coming off the tracks, and now you want to get it back on so you can continue moving forward and making progress.
Okay, yeah, I think that's what I think of too, to get your finances in order. And the first one seems so simple, but just understand your money situation. Do you guys agree with what it says here?
Yeah. Once you know what you have and what you owe, you can identify your biggest problem and assess what needs to change. And I think that sometimes we don't want to think about our money situation.
Right.
We want to ignore it and continue doing what we're doing. We don't want to assess what needs to change. But it's really important, if you are worrying about money, to understand why.
What do you think, Albert?
Right. I mean, like, I feel like that's what it is with a lot of things in life. You know, the unknown is scary. It causes fear. It makes you afraid. So, I mean, facing it, it's tough. It's icky. Money's icky. You know, these things, you have to face it, though. Just take the time, sit down, and you get to know what you're capable of, what you're incapable of doing.
Right. And I think it's kind of interesting. It says to identify your biggest problem. Obviously, most people's biggest problem is overspending. So really what this means is find out what area that you're overspending in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, you don't need that 30th pair of shoes, even though you might like them. Okay, and then you need to really assess what needs to be changed, what needs to change, and do something about it. And also, I think this goes along with know where your money is going. So you need to know, and according to this financial planner, and he's the president of Financial Life Focus, okay, identify your necessary expenses for each month. This is kind of a lot like what we've been talking about the last couple of days. Identify necessary expenses, right?
Yes.
So that's under the needs category.
Needs, necessary.
Okay. And then look at your bank and credit card statements from the last month to see how much you're spending on discretionary items. So what is a discretionary item?
It's something dependent on someone's judgment and wisdom.
What does that mean?
So, like, items that you feel like you do really need in your life?
Okay, my question is, how does discretionary item differ from an incidental?
That's a really good question. Okay, so something that is a discretionary item is something that you purchase at your own discretion. It's a decision that you make based on your judgment, and it could be something pretty expensive, whereas an incidental should be a minor expense. It's something small, and oftentimes I think it would be connected to something else that you're purchasing that you probably didn't factor into the original price.
Right. Like, for example, when you're buying something and it turns out there was a processing fee that you did not know about. You just thought there was just one rate.
Okay. Or maybe you need a new winter coat, but then an incidental would maybe be like gloves to go with it because you realize they're worn out and shabby as well.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
But remember that this is a minor expense. A discretionary item is, let's go back to the cell phone. Could mm-hmm. be that I have this money and I want that, and it's the discretionary item that you're going to buy. So it's usually more expensive.
Yeah, and it's usually something you want more than something you need, but it could also be something that you need.
Yes, okay. So we hope that that explanation helps. We did actually spend about 10 minutes talking about the difference between these two words.
I want to say 5 minutes.
Okay, five to 10, okay. So, I think the point here is we might be spending a lot more on discretionary items than we think. We might be buying all of these things that we're like, oh, I want that. Okay, I need that. Or I want that, where maybe we don't realize that we're doing it. Okay.
Oh, definitely. I feel like a lot of times I sleep on items that I want to purchase or feel like I need. But then, you know, a week or a day goes by, I'm like, I didn't really need that in my life.
Like that Kindle?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't need that Kindle. That would have been a discretionary item. Okay. Let's continue here. We have a couple more. Several more that we want to discuss. So let's finish reading this column on page 42.
Get a handle on your debt. Focus on paying off your highest rate debts first, likely credit card debt, so you'll pay less in interest over time. Before you start paying down debt, understand why you have accumulated it, Kay said. Was it because you had a major medical expense or borrowed heavily to cover the cost of college? If this is your normal way of living, it's time to take stock and think about why, Kay said. Educate yourself about personal finance. Gaining mastery of your finances doesn't mean you need a degree in finance, Kay said. But you do need to know what's creating fear or discomfort for you.
So the next thing that we're going to look at is getting a handle on your debt. And if you get a handle on something, Albert, what do you do?
It's to understand a situation so it can be controlled.
Okay. So here it means understanding your debt so that you can control it and mm-hmm. you can hopefully get rid of it. So the first point that they give us is what?
You should focus on paying off your highest rate debts first, like credit card debt, so you'll pay less over time.
Less interest over time,
yes.
Right. Okay, so I don't think a lot of people, well, I'm not sure, but I have a feeling that a lot of people don't know the kind of interest they're paying. So that is one thing. I mean, I don't really pay much attention to it, so maybe that's why I said that statement. But it is very eye-opening when you start looking at how much interest you're actually paying.
I think something that contributes to that is banks and credit card lenders, they're often changing their interest rates. And so if you aren't paying attention, you might go from a 1% interest rate or a 3% interest rate to suddenly 7%. And that can make a really huge difference in how much money you pay in the end.
Right. So you need to get you need to focus on it. And then if you have several credit cards and you buy most on one credit card and that is your highest interest credit card, you're paying a lot of money that you don't need to pay. So as Albert was saying, the first point is focus on that one and get rid of that credit card debt. But before you start paying it off, what should you do?
You need to understand why you have that debt. How did you accumulate it? What habits do you have maybe that you need to change? Or what was the major expense that created the debt in the first place?
Right. So we're really looking at two things here. So you can't help it if you had a major medical expense. Or, you know, you have to pay, you had to get loans when you went to college and you're paying them off. Or are you just charging everything that you see, all of your discretionary items, I guess. Okay, are you charging everything? And you need to take stock and think about why. And if you take stock of something, it means just to look at it carefully and realize it, come to a realization.
This reminds me of a movie that came out a few years ago that was based on a book, Confessions of a Shopaholic.
Uh-huh.
Because the movie was essentially about this young woman who racked up so much credit card debt on all of these different cards and had a debt collector coming after her to collect on her debt because she was not making payments. And she was just buying discretionary items. She was shopping all the time on clothes that she didn't need. Her closet was very, very full.
Right. And oftentimes people, as Albert mentioned earlier, sometimes we just buy things to buy them.
Mm.
You know, and we never use them.
I feel like a lot of times we are sold onto a lifestyle. You're like, I can imagine myself using this in XYZ situation. So mm-hmm. you buy it. But I mean, a lot of times really you don't need it. This is something that, you know, I'm learning over the years.
Right. And actually, that is something the sooner you learn, the more money you will have. Really. So I think it's good. You know, we need to think about our spending habits and our debts and what got us there and what can we do to protect ourselves and to help ourselves. And I know I said this before, but that's why some people have actually cut up their credit cards or put your credit card away so that you only use it when you absolutely have to. You know, because it's very, very handy to pay with plastic. And especially because, you know, there are a lot of rewards for doing that as well. At the end of the year, you get gifts or you get something from your credit card companies or from your banks.
And sometimes maybe you have one that's tied to an airline, so you get extra airline miles, so you can fly for free somewhere. They have a lot of reward programs with credit cards.
But I think that that's fine. We are not saying that credit cards are a bad thing.
No.
We're just saying that you need to use it within, you know, your budget and get a handle on it. Get a handle not only on your debt, but get a handle on your credit card.
You know, Linda, what you said about how playing with plastic is so easy, it's so true. Maybe I should just cut up all my credit cards and pay with pennies. Like, I'll just carry tons of pennies with me, and every time I got to pay something, I'm like, oh, this is too much.
Well, you know, I remember when we first moved to Taiwan many, many years ago, and nobody used credit cards. Everything was by cash.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had moved here from the States, when I saw something I wanted, I was not in the habit of carrying a lot of cash with me.
Oh.
And so I had to, like, teach myself to take more with me, because if I saw something that I needed, mm-hmm. that I had the money to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And just being in that kind of situation also allowed us to pay our credit cards off that we had in the States, you know, our debt off that we had in the States on our credit cards, because we never used them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're getting into, you know, in advanced societies, everybody uses one. Mm-hmm. If you can control it, great. And you can use it to your advantage. I do have friends, and they have airline credit cards, and they travel for free wherever they go. But they pay their credit cards off at the end of every month.
Right.
So, you know, you just have to know yourself. If you need to only carry pennies, I'll be happy to cut your credit cards up for you.
Oh.
But make sure you're still building good credit, right? So getting a handle on your debt is one way that you can try to improve your credit score that we talked about on the first day of this lesson.
Right.
It's a balancing act.
It is.
Well, I think that goes along with the next one. Our next point here is educate yourself about personal finance and gain mastery. Okay, here we go, Albert. Gaining mastery of your finances doesn't mean you need a degree in finance. Okay, so if you have a mastery of something, it means that you have control of it. And that's really what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So here we want to gain mastery of our finances, and sometimes it feels like we do need a degree in finance, right? Especially when we were going to talk about compound interest.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
It seems like this very strange, unknown thing, but you don't.
Right. But I like this last sentence. It says, you do need to know what's creating fear or discomfort for you. So with finances, what are you afraid of?
Right.
Anybody here? I mean, for me in the past, it's always been fear of the unknown, like retirement fund, you know, or trying to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Or not being able to buy my discretionary items.
Oh, yeah. Really want that cell phone. Or incidentals like that chocolate bar.
Mm-hmm. The extra whipped cream on top of your hot chocolate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's a little bit of like the unexpected. You know, I've seen and also heard of stories where, you know, like friends whose family member has fallen on hard times and has really affected their lives. Because, you know, you want to help out your loved ones. And so they have to dip into. So what they've previously accounted for or planned for is being just, you know, thrown out. And they have to adjust. So that kind of, you know, worries me from time to time sometimes when you hear about such things.
Mm-hmm. I think that that goes back to have a 6 to 9 month savings so that, you know, when you do encounter those kind of unexpected expenses that you will have something saved up. But again, you know, if you're young, it doesn't, you can't necessarily do that. So remember, it also said to start it, try for like $1,000 or $2,000. And it seems like a lot of money at the time, but if you encounter something like what you were talking about, Albert, mm-hmm. it's not much at all. So we just need to remember that we have to start somewhere. Okay, well, we have a little bit more to talk about here, so we're going to finish the reading, and we are in the right-hand column on page 42 now.
Plan for the what-ifs. You can alleviate some of your financial worries by identifying your worst-case money scenarios and preparing for them, Kay said. Creating an emergency fund to cover expenses if you're out of work is a good place to start. Consider everything that could derail your aspirations, Kay said. Stop trying to keep up with others. You need to be honest with yourself about whether your money woes stem from trying to impress others or belong, Kay said. To avoid falling into the trap of trying to keep up with others and worrying that you can't, write down what you care about.
I like this title or the subtitle, Plan for the What Ifs, right?
Yeah, that's the unexpected. The what if this thing happens? What if I have an accident? What if my family member gets sick? Those sorts of things. The what if unknown questions.
So are you identifying your worst case money scenarios there?
No, not necessarily.
Okay, but if these are your what ifs, it says that you can alleviate some of these worries. And alleviate just means to get rid of them, okay? So, or make them seem less severe if you're in certain ways. So you need to prepare for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this really reinforces kind of what we were talking about the last couple of days. An emergency fund. Okay, we've talked about this, I think, several times now. And also consider everything that could derail your aspirations. So we have two kind of new words here. One is derail, and we're back to the train. Okay, we've been on track, and now we are derailing.
Yeah, so if you are derailed, that means that you're no longer on track. And we see that it means to prevent a plan or process from succeeding. So you're no longer on that straight track. Your train is off the rails. Your plan is failing.
Okay, and derail your aspirations. So, Albert, what does aspiration mean here?
It's something that you hope to achieve.
Okay.
Your goals.
And here we're talking about money. So what is something that you hope to buy in the future?
Yeah.
You don't really have to answer that. But maybe that new cell phone or your new house or something like that.
Well, you know, I hope not a new cell phone, but definitely like maybe a house would be nice, you know, to start a family in.
Or even taking a trip or something like that. You know, something might happen where a lot of things, it can be across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this is kind of an important one for a lot of people. Stop trying to keep up with others.
Ooh.
This can be a real challenge because, you know, you want to follow the latest fashions. You want to make sure that you are on the same level as your peers.
Okay. And actually, that causes a lot of money worries. It says here that our money woes stem from trying to impress others or belong. And if something stems from something, then that's where it starts, okay? Or it develops as the result of something else. And here it's stemming from trying to belong or fit in or impress somebody. So what can you do if that is the situation, Albert?
Well, I feel like you should just really prioritize, like, what is really important and what makes you happy at the end of the day. Is it the approval of friends that you're not that really close to? Are your friends judging you based on not being able to keep up with the latest fashion trends? Well, maybe that's not the kind of friends you need.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And here we see the recommendation is to write down what you care about. So think about those things, what is important to you, and write it down. Make a list. And that will help you really focus in on how you should be using your money, where your time and effort and resources should go.
And I feel like if you just take a little bit of time to reflect, you'll realize, like, oh, a lot of things that I consider a priority or important, they're not that.
They're not necessarily right. Yeah. So I think that this has been some good tips for all of us. We need to take time really to think about it and process it. So along with the vocabulary, we hope that also you've learned some new ideas maybe that we can all put into practice. And we hope that you practice listening to Advanced Studio Classroom every day and that you will join us again here. But we need to say goodbye for now.
Bye.
Bye.